1:34 in the morning, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you. That's the Partridge Family theme song that has been played, I imagine, over and over and over again in her lifetime. Gretchen Bonaducci joins us on the phone. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be talking to you and talking to my people in my hometown.
Yep. Did you grow up in Chicago, Gretchen? Were you born and raised in Chicago for a while?
I was born in Waukegan and lived in Zion, yep, and in and out of Chicago for many years. So it is my hometown, though. I mean, you know, North Chicago, and then there's Waukegan. So when I tell anyone, where are you from, I'm like, I'm from Chicago.
Gretchen Bonaducci, the ex-wife of Danny Bonaducci. Her book is Surviving Agent Orange and Other Things I Learned from Being Thrown Under the Partridge Family Bus. And Gretchen, this is great for me because I have not spoken to you in, I think, 21 years.
I know. I was listening to you guys talking about Disneyland and you saying that we slept together one night in Detroit.
I did not say that we slept together. I said
no.
I spent the night with Gretchen.
Yes, you did say that.
Do you have any recollection of that?
No, I don't. Oh, my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
No,
like, that's terrible.
Don't be. So, Gretchen, I was Danny's producer for about 6 months. In Detroit at WKQ, WKQI, Q95, at Q95,
yeah.
I was Danny's producer.
Was
right after you guys moved there, I got hired. I was only there for about 6 months. Mr. Word fired me, which was, I've always told people it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And so when I first moved there, you guys had just moved there. Danny, it was Halloween weekend. So it was soon after, I think, you guys had moved there full time.
I totally remember now, yes, because I was worried because, you know, in Detroit, a lot of times they have, I forgot what the night's called. There's like a specific night that they refer to, and I was kind of afraid to be there by myself, and yes, I totally remember now.
So Danny asked me, I just moved to Detroit, literally like a week or so before, I start producing on the show, and Danny's like, I got to go out of town because he was doing an appearance somewhere. And he's like, I don't want Gretchen and Isabella to be there by themselves. We just moved to town, and Halloween could be crazy here. So I spent the weekend at your house with you.
I totally remember now. Yes. Oh, and that was an unbelievably sweet and kind of you to do that. Like, who would do that? Who would just go, okay, yeah, in case your family gets murdered, I will be there to protect them.
I'll take the first hit, and then, you know, I'll just be here with you as that all happens. Yes. Well, Danny was not an easy person. Not that I would have said no, but, like, Danny is a force. Danny has always been a force of nature in that he is very like, he fills up a room and he's, I think you would imagine he's hard to say no to. That probably got him in a lot of trouble in his life that people tend to say yes to Danny a lot, right?
Oh, I think that's incredibly true. And, you know, I always wondered what people thought about that, you know, were working with him because I didn't know, you know, I thought he was kind of difficult, but I didn't know if people that were working with him were like, this guy's difficult. You know?
I always told people, people would ask, you know, cause you know, you always heard stories, especially at that time, there were a lot of stories about Danny being crazy because there were a lot of crazy things in the news with him over the years. Right. And so when people would ask,
you think?
When people would ask what it was like to work with Danny, I would say he is your best friend and your worst enemy sometimes in the same 60 minutes.
And
you know,
especially when you're married to him, that is exactly what I would say, too. Sometimes he was my best friend, and sometimes, a lot of the time, he was my worst enemy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, like, there were times that Danny was ready to kill me, and you know, I was fired just 6 months into the job, and I think that was pretty much Danny saying, you know, hey, this isn't working out, whatever, and that was fine. But, like, you know, 2 weeks before, he was being offered a contract in New York and was talking to me about getting me written into the contract. So it was like, you know, this roller coaster with Danny. And I imagine that was your life for a lot of years of marriage, just lots of really cool highs and lots of really tough lows.
It is exactly what it was. I mean, it was either really, really great or really, really terrible. There was like no in between whatsoever. So you experienced my marriage exactly. So I think we're on the same page with that one.
So tell everybody, anybody that doesn't know. So you and it was a very famous courtship that, of course, Danny told the story many times over the years on the radio. But tell everybody about you and Danny met, and I want to say it was 8 hours later you guys got married.
Well, that is the famous lore, but that's not exactly true. I think it was more like 48 hours, but the Star did an article, Star Magazine, that said Danny Bonaducci marries blonde after 8-hour courtship. So that became the story. But and not that it makes it any better that it was 48 hours, except for the fact that we were married 18 years. So yeah,
you made it pretty far.
We did. And, you know, like you said, there was so many great, great things, and then there was so many bad, bad things, and just no in between, you know. And eventually when it was more bad, bad things than great, great things, that's when you finally have to go, okay, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But he's a handful, not going to lie. But he's had radio shows for years to say whatever about me. And some of it's true, some of it's not true, but I kind of felt like I wanted to represent myself. You know, I wanted to tell my story, which was the whole reason I wanted to write a book. You know, I felt like a lot of people didn't like me because of the things he had said. And I'm like, you know what? I don't accept your hate. Read my book, and if you still hate me, then I accept. But, you know, I'm not going to let anyone not like me over things that may be true or may not be true. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the tough part is whenever somebody's a celebrity in the way that Danny has been later in life with radio shows, and I think mm-hmm. Danny really followed kind of the Howard Stern mold of, I'm just going to let it all out there. I'm going to, the warts and all, and that's how, you know, we're going to, you know, really connect with people, and that's fine. But like you said, there are embellishments sometimes. It's an 8-hour courtship, not a 2-day, because it sounds a little better. And so Danny, you know, is an entertainer. And so, I think sometimes things got drawn out a little more, and because it was funnier and things like that. And so, you know, as the spouse, you take the brunt of that. And I imagine there's times that that's really hard.
I mean, it was, but the thing with him, and, you know, because you know him, you probably really get it, with me in particular, he always just put me on such a pedestal, you know, like was always my wife, she's so great, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I kind of enjoyed being that person,
sure.
But that was kind of a hard thing to live up to, although I do think it definitely made me a better person, because I think I was so worried about disappointing him because he, you know, was saying all these great things about me that I wanted to be that good,
yeah.
You know? So it kind of helped me as a human being to try to, you know, just be a better person. And so that was good, you know? Like, I feel like when we were married, I was probably at my peak of being the best person I could be, you know, because I had no room to just, you know, fall off the pedestal. Like, I really had to maintain that because I never wanted to disappoint him or anyone around him who was, you know, looking at me going, oh my God, she's so great, she's so wonderful, you know, and I wanted to be that person.
Yeah, and that's hard for anyone to live up to. And let's face it, marriage is difficult as it is. No marriage is easy. And to make it 18 years with somebody who's in the limelight and who's, and Danny used to say he was bipolar. Is Danny bipolar?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So bipolar,
and then
had
alcoholic
addiction issues.
And, yeah, yes. he had a lot of steroids. There was a lot of things that I had to deal with. But the weird thing is, it's not weird. I think it's probably pretty universal to people that have addiction problems.
Mm-hmm.
He would be great. And then for like 6 months, 8 months, all good, and then he'd crash, and then it would be really bad, and then he would get it together. So, you know, there were a lot of times where everything was great, you know, before, I'd say every 6 months, we had a big bump in the road. That just became where I had to kind of go, if I don't leave now, I'm going to be in this exact position in 6 months, you know, where he's misbehaving. And now my children were older, and I really wanted to not put them in that position,
yeah.
You know, where they, it's just not good for kids,
yeah.
You know. That was the thing that made me go, was watching Dr. Phil. And I was watching an episode, and he said children would rather be from a bad situation than in one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm keeping my children in a bad situation. And, you know, for me, I'm an adult, I can choose to fight for something, but to put my kids in that, I just kind of had to deal with was probably not the best thing for them.
Yeah. So there wasn't one episode. It was just the repetitive over and over ups and downs that finally made you say this just isn't healthy anymore.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, there was a lot of infidelity, and that was hard for me to catch until computers and texting, you know, because when I thought something was going wrong and I would confront him about it, it was like, oh, you're crazy. I would never do that to you. And then you turn on the radio, it's like, I love my wife. She's made, you know what I mean? Like, he was selling me that line as much as every radio station he was on. And up until I could actually catch him doing these things, you know, I wasn't going to leave my marriage over something I thought was happening. Sure. I needed to know for sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so finally that time came and you said, okay, this is...
Yeah, no, when I finally caught him and there was no getting around it, I finally had to try to address it because, you know, we were a family, we had two kids, and I wanted to keep things together, but I kind of knew at that point, after trying for like a year or two after that, that it just was not fixable.
Yeah. How long? So what year did you guys end up getting divorced?
I think it was 2009 or 2010 when it was, finally through. We were married 18 years total to the day, which was weird because...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we filed like 2 years before it was final, and it ended up coming through on the day we got married. So to the day, we were married 18 years. And you know, so much of it was great and crazy. And, I mean, I traveled the world and just met a lot of great people. Yeah, like I'm so grateful, you know, that I had the opportunity to be married to him and have two amazing children. Our daughter's about to get married in October.
Oh.
And our son is a senior in high school, and it was just a crazy ride, and you know, that's why I wanted to write the book and sort of share my story.
Yeah.
You know, right now I'm sort of trying to push it into a movie because I think it's sort of a Bridget Jones Diary, Only True, kind of mixed with I, Tonya, you know, like with all the absurd situations. So now that I've got the book out there, which took a long, long time, you know, people I don't think understand how hard it is to get a book out there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to write it, and then you have to hopefully get a lit agent, and then that takes a year to, in my case, essentially get all no's. You know, everybody's like,
sure.
No. And then I ended up with this great company that ended up publishing the book, and I think that was a year and a half to 2 years after I signed before we finally were able to get it out. But everything happens in the time it's supposed to. You know, like now my son's in boarding school. This amazing performing arts school that he was able to get into. And so I have the luxury of going all over the country and doing book signings and all these things that I would not have been able to do had it been, before now. So it's just been incredible. And like the first day on Amazon, it sold out. Like I couldn't believe it, you know, because I don't know. I don't have hundreds of thousands of followers like a lot of my friends do. You know, like my friend who wrote the foreword is Adrienne Curry. Do you know who that is?
I know that name, yes.
She was the first ever America's Next Top Model, and she's from Joliet, Illinois. So she was married to Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so we became great friends, and because we had so much in common, you know, we were both married to ex-child stars, we were both from Illinois, and, you know, she's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and I have, you know, like 10, and so I'm like, well, I'll put this book out, I'm going to try to write the best book that I can, and make it a good book where it doesn't matter that it's me, you know, like just a book that people would go, oh, this looks interesting, and then they, you know, would read it, and then go, oh my God, that's so weird. She was married to that guy, Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah.
So that was sort of my goal in writing the book, that I just was trying to write something that I thought was entertaining and that people would like. And so I hope I did, you know. I don't know. I'm getting good feedback, but, you know, that could just be from my friends.
Sure. Well, no, I will say I have been flipping through it this week. It's an entertaining read and covers a lot of the, you know, the crazy ups and downs of your life with Danny. And that's interesting as it is, whether it's Danny or somebody else famous. I mean, just being the spouse of somebody who has all this notoriety and infamy, and you travel town to town. I mean, Danny was getting new shows all the time, and you guys were moving around a lot. I mean, just in the 6 months I was with him, it was all over the place. And I can't imagine 18 years of that and the stories that you have and things like that. Now, are you and Danny on speaking terms? How are things today with you guys? Because you still have kids, so you're still, you know, you're locked together for the rest of your lives and through these two wonderful kids. So that's got to be difficult to find out how to navigate those waters, I imagine.
Well, we pretty much only talk about anything if it's with the kids, like, you know, our daughter's wedding and planning that, and our son going to school. But he's married now to another woman who I love, and she's sweet, and he's so happy. And, you know, we really just don't have that much to talk about. So, you know, we're not, like, I don't call him and go, hey, Danny, guess what's happening to me today, you know, because he's moved on and is married, and he's great and healthy, and how could I ever be, you know, upset about that. Like, I'm so happy.
Sure, but you've got a book out now that kind of looks, you know, is being marketed a little bit as, here's the tell-all. So is he like, hey? Or is he like,
I know,
no,
and
that's
see,
fine.
I hate that. I hate when people say, did you write a tell-all book? Because to me, that means your intention was mean. You know, like, I'm writing something, a tell-all, to be mean to people, which is not what I was doing at all. You know, I wanted to write a book about my experience and not to be mean to him. And, I mean, most of the people that read it are like, I thought you were too nice to him in the book. You know, I tried to be really fair and say a lot of nice things, because there were a lot of nice things, you know, to say. And then, you know, when I was telling something, in my opinion, that's bad, I was kind of just relaying the story, you know, of something he did. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you are a person who's worried about your behavior, then you probably shouldn't have done it if you thought somebody was going to talk about it later. I mean, that's my bar.
Sure,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, if I'm with somebody and I just kind of feel like if I won't say it in front of you, I probably shouldn't say it, you know, and that's the way I feel about the things you do in life.
Well, and like you said, Danny's gotten to have his radio shows forever. He told stories about you endlessly, and some were, you know, maybe more untrue than true for the sake of the story and for the radio show. So it's fair that you get to have your turn at the keyboard, if not the mic. So, but I'm wondering then, because Danny can be volatile. Danny can be great. He can be all of these things. So I imagine when you decide you're writing this book, you got to be thinking, what is Danny going to say about this? Is he going to freak out and get mad at me, or is he going to be cool with it?
Well, I kind of feel like he will be upset if it does well. You know, like, I think if it tanks, he's going to just relish in it and just, you know, be happy about it. But yeah, I think if it does well, I think he's not going to be that happy about it. But I haven't, it's like been crickets, radio silence. I have not heard one thing about it. I know when he first heard about it a couple of years ago that I was writing a book, he was really mad about it. So I don't know if his people have said, you know what, I just wouldn't even acknowledge it, and that's the way you should handle it, because I've heard nothing. So
he still has a radio show. He should be booking you on his radio show.
I know. Well, I think my book company is hoping he'll do that, because if not, then they'll just book me across the street. But I do know it's precarious for him, and it'll put him in a position where I think he has to be nice to me, because I think Seattle, apparently, whenever he's mean to me there, that's where he is now. People really get mad and write really mean letters to his program director. So
that's funny.
So I feel like, yes, if I'm on in Seattle on his station, he's going to have to behave. But yeah, I don't know how he feels about it. I mean, my gut is he's hoping it doesn't do well, and that's probably what he's hoping. But, you know, and I don't know. Like I said, I have no idea if people will want to read it, if they'll read it and think, oh, this is entertaining, because that's kind of what I was, like I said, going for.
Yeah.
You know, just writing a book that people would pick up and go, oh, this is cool. Like, so we tried to shoot a really interesting cover so that people would at least pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, and then I had all my friends, like Cherie Curry, who was the lead singer of the Runaways. She wrote something. My friend Susan Olson, you know, that I could – bolster it by going, oh, I know these people and I like them, so if they like her, maybe I should read this book.
Well, it's interesting because I did expect a little more of, you know, the cover, and I understand it's marketing and they want to get people to pick up the book, but the title Surviving Agent Orange makes it sound like, oh boy, she's really going to tell some stories here. And you are nice to Danny in the book overall. I mean, you acknowledge he is who he is and this is how he is and it's a crazy situation. Yeah. So.
Well, here's the thing with the title, which I have to explain because I could see how people could misconstrue that that sounds kind of mean, but really what it was, you probably, or I don't know, maybe you didn't. Did you see our show Breaking Bonaducci on VH1?
I do remember watching it, yes.
Yeah. So we did that show. We had two seasons on VH1, and then we chose not to do a third season because we're like, if we do a third season, we're getting divorced, you know, because whenever the camera was on, he just went crazy, you know, and I was managing him and raising our kids and everything, and I would just be like, Danny, oh my God, you're ruining your career. Stop it. And he just couldn't. Like, whenever the camera was on him, because you know him, he's a performer, you know, and then when you're getting all of this positive reinforcement from producers like, oh my God, that's crazy, everybody's gonna watch this episode and go, you're crazy, it just kind of amped him up more, you know, and so we decided not to do a third season, and in exchange for not doing that, we brought them an idea called I Know My Kid's the Next Child Star. So they ended up optioning that from us instead. And one of the titles that we threw out, you know, for that show was Surviving Agent Orange, because Danny was going to be a judge with these kids. And so my assistant and I just thought that was so funny that it became Danny's code name, like POTUS, you know. It's like, Agent Orange is driving up the driveway. Agent Orange is heading to his meeting at William Morris. You know, so if you don't know that that was the context, I could see how you might think that's being mean, but that was totally his code name between me and our assistant.
Well, that makes sense. You know, we've got to go in a second, but I really wish you well with the book. Again, it's called Surviving Agent Orange and Other Things I Learned from Being Thrown Under the Partridge Family Bus. In my short time with you and Danny in Detroit, we got to go to, I think, Disney World to do some shows.
I think so. I know there was some Ohio things. There was like some, there's a big, I can't remember the name of it there, outside of like Cleveland or Cincinnati. There was a big, what is the place in Gurnee outside of Chicago?
Great America?
Yeah, it was something like that. But yeah, I mean, we did a lot of fun things, and oh my God, I cannot believe, because it is totally coming back to me, how amazing you were that you would come and stay with me and Isabella.
Well, Gretchen, I want to know if you remember this story once I tell it. So we go with the show with John and Rebecca. We go down to Disney World, and we do a couple shows there, and you were there with Isabella, and you brought, you guys had a nanny, you know, pretty young girl at the time.
Oh, right. With. Yeah. Yes.
And we do a show, and it was really early in the morning, and then we all go out to eat at some property there, at some restaurant or whatever in Disney World. And they had, it's like 10 in the morning, and they have yards of beer that they sell there. So Danny challenges me to drink this entire yard of beer and tells me he will give me $100 if I do it.
Now, yep, that sounds about right.
I'm a 22-year-old producer making no money at all, so I'm like, okay, of course I will. And so at 10 in the morning, he gets this yard of beer, and I have to stand up, and like John and Rebecca and Danny are holding this thing up for me, and people that are in the restaurant and realize Danny Bonaducci's there like cheering us on. And so like it takes me like, I think, 90 seconds to get this entire thing down, and Danny won't let me finish until the whole thing is done. I get all the way to the end. I finish it. We set it down. The whole place starts cheering. The entire thing. And then the entire thing comes right back out of me.
God, that's right. Oh, my God. I do remember that. That was crazy.
Partially.
And John Heffron. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He went on to be on, like, top funny comic, whatever.
Yeah, America's
was that
Top
TV
Comic
show
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. And Rebecca, I think she does radio in,
yep,
like, Oregon
in
or
Portland,
something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I do remember that. I'm sorry, I remember that you blew chunks all over the place, but I do.
Including all over your young nanny, who I'm sure probably did not work for you for very much longer. She's folks.
No, well, you know what? He wasn't happy about her in the first place because, you know, she was really pretty, and he was like, I don't know if we need this girl in our house.
Probably a good choice. Gretchen Bonaducci,
yes,
the book is Surviving Agent Orange and Other Things I Learned from Being Thrown Under the Partridge Family Bus. It's so good to talk to you again. Best of luck with the book, and I hope to see a movie in a couple of years.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm doing a book signing on Tuesday.
Oh, excellent. Where at? Where at?
At Volumes Bookstore in Wicker Park. So I'm there.
One of my
Tuesday.
Best friends owns that bookstore.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
well, you better come say hello.
I taught with her in school.
I think it's at 7 o'clock. Yes, so come say hi. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you know what? I'm going to challenge you to drink another one of those beers. we'll relive our whole thing, and then you can sleep over again and have to protect.
That sounds good. We'll do it all. Yes, we'll relive our youth, Gretchen. That's just
Let's
what we need,
it.
Right?
Yes.
Sounds
yes,
good.
We
all
do.
Right. Everybody come out and see Gretchen Bonaducci on Tuesday in Wicker Park at Volumes Bookstore. We'll mention that again later and give out the address. Thank you so much for being on, Gretchen.
Thank you for having me on, and I love you, Chicago. I can't wait to be home.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. We'll talk again. Gretchen Bonaducci, Surviving Agent Orange is the book. All right. You heard the tone. It's news time. We've got to get there in a minute, but we've got to take a break first. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.